Bond. James Bond.
25 Eon films. A wealth of paraphernalia. From Terror of the Tweeters, John Ryan and Matthew Ross embark on the 007 Debrief. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good day, good night, good whatever time it is, wherever the hell you are listening to Terror of the Tweeters, and we are back. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we are back.
At last,
after the enjoyable romp of Revolution of the Daleks, and finally putting to bed, what was it we were talking about again? Do you remember? Do you have any idea?
I'm sure there was some event. Something happened, you know. I think there was an ood involved. I can't remember. I got very drunk.
Yeah,
I forgot it all.
Yeah. With regards to it, that's the question. Did it ever actually finish or anything? Because I heard something about it the other day. And It doesn't matter. If it does, we'll get to it when we get to it and everything. And we're not going to spend all that much time on it either.
I don't want to talk about the vinyl joke.
No. One thing we will say about the vinyl, thank God for bloody common sense. At long last.
Well, yeah, there is that.
Don't take the long way, Big Finish. We still love you.
That's the disclaimer at the end of all our podcasts.
Yes, that is the disclaimer. Don't take it personally. We still love you and everything, but the marketing, what is up with the marketing? Anyways, that's done. We do not need to talk about that. What we are going to talk about, however, is you may have seen the little teasers and everything, especially the one that I put at the end of the last podcast has end credit sequence or something like that and everything. If anybody listened, I don't think anybody did. I don't really care. I just make stupid stuff just for fun and everything. I do not, just for the laugh of it, I do not care if they get listened to. But yeah, this is going to be a fun one and everything. So we are officially, with this episode, launching the 007 Debrief. Myself, John Ryan, and Mike. Yes, that. That exactly.
I had one go at doing that joke, and it picks me moment.
Yes, you did. So, yes, we have returned. Myself, John Ryan, my cohort, Matthew Ross.
Cohort?
Yes, my cohort in crime.
Oh, okay. Quite fancy.
Podcastery crime. Yes. We assault people's eardrums.
Yes, of course. I mean, I did. I probably peaked with my interruption there.
So, yeah. So, this literally just came out with regards to a discussion that we had. Because Matt just decided to start posting just these tweets and everything of him going through the Bond movies as he got a box set and everything. And just the revelation came that you had not seen any of the Bond movies before that point and everything.
Yeah,
yeah, apart from I think it was like one or two, you had seen none of them.
I realized when I watched the film that it was, I had seen the first hour of Quantum of Solace in a high school Spanish lesson, and that was the only Bond I had seen until last May, April, whenever it was, when I started watching them.
So hold on, was that first hour of Quantum of Solace actually in Spanish, or was it in English?
No, it was just the Spanish teacher got bored and didn't want to teach, and so showed us, just stuck on a movie that had come out recently.
Oh my god!
Genuine, I mean, that's the caliber of high school I went to. But that was it. That was my Bond education. I'd always known about it as a franchise that I probably wasn't going to care for if I did ever watch. I'd watched the Johnny English films, and I liked the Johnny English films. But I never paid attention to Bond until I was 22, 23.
And then here's myself who we watched his first one when in about 2004. I think it was Die Another Day when it actually got a TV airing. And then the first one I actually went to see in the cinema was Quantum of Solace. I had not seen Casino Royale before. So it's like there were plot points that carried on in that and everything.
So you had no idea what was going on.
There's the thing, actually. I had some kind of a clue. I had some kind of a clue, but I was...
They keep referencing this woman. Who is this random woman? I was 30
going on 14 and everything. I was a kid. I was just watching it for the spectacle and everything. To be frank, it opens with a fucking spectacle. But we'll get on to that when we get on to that and everything. But yeah, I had basically watched
that.
We'll
get on to that in about 4 years when we watch the
Yes. Yes, when we get on to that and everything. Maybe you... No. Andrew's going to do those when he gets around to them. But yeah, no, I went to see that in the cinema. Then the Christmas the following year, which was about 2009, my folks got the box set and everything. And I just went through all of them and everything. Yes, I poured love into that box set. And
so
then
you've got them with presumably not the Craig films on yet. The box set will have just been up to Brosnan.
It was up to Quantum of Solace. It actually had the two Craig films in it and everything. Now, Casino Royale, I actually saw before I got that box set because we got a Blu-ray player. There was this promo where you could get two free Blu-rays. One of them was Batman Begins. The other was Casino Royale. And I finally just sat down and watched it. I thought, this is good. I like this. And then the box set. And then the last two I've seen in the cinema.
Can we do some Batman podcasts? That would be fun.
That would be interesting. Yeah, I might consider it once Series 13 finally comes around and we're done and dusted with it and everything. We might
still be doing Bond by the time Series 13 airs. Depends how frequently we're going to do these bloody podcasts.
Well, there is a plan. Hopefully, we can stick to the plan and everything. I have a plan of when they're looking to go out and everything. Recording them. That's going to be the tricky part and everything because we're going to need people. We are going to need people.
Yes, indeed. Yes. If any of our regular listeners want to come and talk about a particular Bond film, if you have one that is your favourite or one that is your least favourite and one you want to shit all over, feel free.
Yes,
send us a message. We will not mind either way.
If you want to gush about it, go ahead. You want to shit all over it? Don't worry. There's going to be some that we're going to be shitting over as well.
Yes, Moonraker.
Not even that. Oh no, you haven't seen the top of the shitty iceberg yet.
Well, yes, that's the thing because you are an established Bond fan.
Yes.
You are a big fan of Bond. You've been watching it for many years now. I have seen each film precisely once. I've not watched the ones that aren't Eon official. There's another one with Connery, isn't there? And there's another adaptation of Casino Royale.
Yes, those two. They are going to be fun ones to come around on and everything. So we're going to be doing those. The plan is we're going to be doing all of the Eon films and everything, all 24 of them so far. And hopefully by the time we finish, people will have stopped acting like it's, will have been able to get this thing down and they'll finally be able to get No Time to Die out. Because by God, I want to see Rami Malek.
Or they'll have caved and put it on a streaming service.
Yes, please get it out. I want to see Rami Malek as a ham-eating Bond villain.
And I want to see Daniel Craig hate everything he's doing. I feel like I might be at that point. We discussed like 19 of these, and we're trying to get through the Brosnan ones, and I'm there quoting Daniel Craig, I'd rather slip my wrists open than do any more of these. I mean, he does not enjoy, but I don't get it. He gets paid millions of dollars to be James Bond. I don't get it, Daniel Craig. Book your ideas up.
Well, I
want to be Bond. Put me in the casting. Put me on the betting list.
Yep. Yeah, but so, yeah, that's the plan. We're going to be doing all 24 of the Eon movies. We're going to be also doing a couple of other things. We're going to be doing Casino Royale 1967, which is going to be fun when we get around to it and everything. We're going to be
seeing it.
Yes, and you're going to, and I'll get, this is a little bit of a hint and advice and everything. You're going to wish it was that way. I am sorry. I am so absolutely sorry for what I'm about to subject you through once we get on to that and everything. If it helps, if it helps, I will join you with an axe with burying the shit.
See, I am currently of the opinion, I will just set the groundwork. I am not a massive fan of any of the films I have seen so far. There are some films that I have enjoyed watching. The majority of films I've stopped watching and then immediately forgotten about. I am very much a, well, that was nice. I don't remember what happened. I think he fell off a cliff. There was a woman. Someone might have played poker.
Exploding alarm clock.
Some of that. The Brosnan ones, the Craig ones. I'm leaning more towards the, they were just fun action movies. Mm. The early ones, I have a lot of things to say about those early Connery films and the 20 minutes they spend walking around a hotel room with the Bond theme playing loudly in the background for no apparent reason.
And then the gloriousness that is Dalton.
I enjoy Dalton. It's either him or Craig as my favourite Bonds at the moment. This could change if I start reviewing them in any depth. But, I mean, Roger Moore is way, way down on the list. There are 400 Roger Moore Bond films, and I don't care about any of them.
Oh, God, it would have been just like, stick at the saint. Just stay at that. Don't do anything else. You've already killed it as the saint. Do not spoil the golden goose.
Well, that's it. If you were watching my Twitter timeline last year, and you saw me posting sporadically the films in order that I was watching them, I went a good month and a half between the middle of the Roger Moore films, just because I watched one and went, I don't want to watch any more of these, and there's four left. I don't care about Roger Moore's Bond at all. I'm just going to wait a bit until I have the urge, and it took me a month and a half.
Yeah, no, with the Gosman, if you were saying you had four then and everything, and knowing your earlier remarks and everything, I kind of knew which one you were starting back off with and everything, and I'm kind of surprised you kept going after that.
Yes. I knew Dalton was coming up, and I wanted to watch Timothy Dalton.
Yeah. No,
we're through.
Yeah. But yeah, no, we're going to go get into all the different ones where we get to it and everything. Just peppered in there as well and everything. We're going to have a little couple of extras. So like I said, we're going to be doing the two unofficial ones and everything. Casino Royale 1967 and Never Say Never Again. We're also going to be looking into what is one of the better oddities of them and everything, which is the Everything or Nothing documentary from 2012 that they did for the 50th anniversary, which is a good watch. We're looking into film history and everything. I think it's okay, but we'll see when we get to it and everything. There is the Fleming miniseries and everything with Dominic Cooper, who's basically just playing Anthony Stark again and everything, or Howard Stark. But anyways, might as well hit that nail on the head.
And the Johnny English films.
Yeah, you know what? We'll throw the Johnny English films in and everything. Yeah, you know what? Let's do it. They are literally parodying the Bond films to that extent and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what?
My plan was to just sort of seed that over the weeks, to just hint towards Johnny English more and more.
Yeah, so okay, no, okay. Good. No, you know what? Yes, we'll go for the Johnny English films. For what I'm about to subject you to, once we get around to them and everything, we will do the Johnny English films. We will do.
I was more than happy to leave that Bond box set on my shelf and very rarely touch it again. But I'm now going to have to go back and rewatch them all and make notes.
Well, at the very least, it's only going to be the once. It's only going to be the once.
Well, yes.
And then peppered in along that side that as well and everything for more shits and giggles for just something that will. I don't know whether it will be universally loved or anything, but just certainly something to make us feel a bit better after what is going to be one of the more shittier ones we're going to have to endure and everything. We're going to look at the time the people who made the James Bond films made a Disney movie, or at the very least the nearest thing to a Disney movie, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. because
you're doing GTA, okay.
Yes, because the amount of people that are involved in that and everything that all have ties to the Bond films and everything, it is ridiculous.
Yes, I will preface this with I've not seen Chitty Chitty Bang Bang since I was about 5 years old. So that's another one that I'm going to be discovering.
The last time I've seen it and everything, I only saw about half an hour of it on Christmas Day, and then they just switched over to something else and everything.
I was just like, no, keep it on! I saw the theatre tour that had Carrie Hope Fletcher and him off that Andrew Lloyd Webber talent show, Lee Mead. It had him as Caractacus, and it had Carrie Hope Fletcher as Truly?
Yeah, Truly. Speaking of that, I actually found the original cast recording CD of that and everything. Some charity shop and everything. Brian Blessed is on it! Brian Blessed! And Richard O'Brien! Richard O'Brien is the child catcher, and I'm just going like, that is giving me some very conflicting emotions right now, because Richard O'Brien, hell yes. The child catcher, hell no.
Yeah, that was fun. So, I mean, yeah. I didn't realise we were going to do Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, but sure, it meant it's like Sherlock to... What was it someone on Twitter said? It was like the Sherlock to Doctor Who. It's got all the same people making it behind the scenes.
Yeah.
So someone on Twitter said that to us. I can't remember who it was.
Yeah, no, I'm... Yeah, it's after blanking in my head as well and everything. But yeah, with regards to it, unlike Sherlock, this one is more universally loved and gets a lot of things right. I think we can agree with that, no matter what your taste with regards to Sherlock.
What year was it made?
68.
Is it really that early? Blimey. Okay.
So it'll
be towards the end of Connery's run then.
Yes, towards the end of Connery's run and everything. And with regards to it, I did absolutely say this when I mentioned it and everything. It's like, this is going to be the palate cleanser after the shit treacle that we're going to have and everything.
Oh, are we doing that after Casino Royale?
Yes, we are.
Okay.
Yes.
With David Niven.
Yes, David.
My only Niven. Point of reference for David Niven as Bond and for that whole film is that joke in the thick of it.
Yes.
That's all I know about David Niven's Bond.
Yes, and there is a very good reason for that, as you will discover. I'm going to save my anger for that movie when we get to it and everything. Because I have words. I have many words about that movie.
I'm sure I will as well.
Yes, exactly. But anyways, so that is the plan and everything. However, we are going to start off this plan because I had been boxed in by this by Jenny Denshin and everything, because I had dug my own grave with this.
Bloody Jenny. Jenny, if you're listening to this, why the hell did you tell us this existed? We were quite happy not knowing about this, and you had to come blundering in, Jenny, darling.
She can't be entirely blameless, because I knew of this thing's existence for the last while and everything. And it's just like, I just completely forgot about it and everything, and it's just like...
You weren't going to talk about it on the podcast. You weren't going to make me watch it.
No. So, yeah. First thing...
Tension. I shake my fists in anger.
Okay, so to elaborate on what we're speaking about and everything, the first ever adaptation of James Bond was not Dr. No. It was all the way back in 1954, a year after the first book Casino Royale was released. Because that was the only James Bond book at the time and everything, the rights weren't really much set up for the character as it was for the book. So CBS bought the rights for the book to film it and make it and everything. And rather than make a lavish feature film, rather than make it a grand production with majestic values and star quality and everything, they instead compressed it into a 1-hour television episode for one of their anthology series, Climax. Get your dirty minds out of the gutter. And
James
with
Bond's climax. We're probably going to be talking a lot about James Bond climaxing in these, let's be honest.
Yes, granted, we probably are and everything. But this one, just, I have so many questions. Literally so many questions. There's one or two good bits, I will admit, and it's like there's one or two good things which they seem to have utilized later on in some of the films and everything, like characterizations or stuff like that. But it's just like, why?
It's 1950s American TV, so yeah. It is slow. It's in black and white. There are only four sets, and none of them look very good. There are eight people walking around who are allowed to speak, and everyone else is just in the background wearing an ill-fitting suit.
And James Bond is American.
James Bond works for the... Is it called the Combined Intelligence Authority or something like that? Because they weren't allowed to use the CIA directly.
Yeah, I cannot remember precisely the details, but it's just like, James Bond is American and he goes by the name Jimmy.
He's Jimmy, yes.
This is just so wrong on so many levels.
And the actor playing him, Barry something or other.
Barry Nelson, yeah.
Him. He has no charisma at all. He is barely recognisable as the Bond we have come to know over the years.
Yeah.
I suspect even unrecognisable to the Bond in the books, because the characterisation of Bond that Connery did surely must have come in some way from the books. And this interpretation is a million miles away. He's so dull.
Yeah.
He looks part. He's a handsome chap for the 50s.
Yeah, with regards to it, it's like there's parts of it that would be Nelson's fault, but there's a lot of it that I think he's entirely blameless for and everything, because you can only really work with what you've got. And what the screenwriters decided to do for this was literally chop the book into three, only take the second bit and everything, and just make it as long and drawn out and boring as possible.
Yeah, they start at the Baccarat game. And I love that opening scene when there's a guy opening the door and letting guests into the clubhouse, and the title card appears, Casino Royale, Act 1. And then just a gun appears from slightly off frame and shoots wildly, missing everybody who was 2 foot away from him. That gunman is the worst assassin in history. That's very 50s. They didn't know how anything worked in the 50s.
Yeah, bless their little cotton socks. But it's just that James Bond is American, and as a converse, Felix Leiter, known as Clarence Leiter in this, because we have to make it obvious, is British. Now, that's...
For some reason.
That is just like, it's the Bond, it's like making Bond American, but it's just like, not so much and everything. You wouldn't be that fussed with Felix and everything. But again, it's just like, why did this localization need to happen and everything? Why
That's
is...
the character Jeffrey Wright plays in the reboots, isn't it?
Yes, that is the one that Jeffrey Wright plays and everything. So I'm just trying to imagine. Yeah. I'm just trying to imagine Jeffrey Wright now with a posh British accent and everything, and it's just like, I can't. I cannot imagine this.
No, he's. He's good American. I mean, he's playing The Watcher soon in that Marvel animated show, isn't he?
Yes, he's going to be playing The Watcher in What If, and that will be interesting when it comes along and everything. And that nice little grey area of canon and not canon with regards to all the films. But anyways, that's neither here nor there. That's something else and everything that we may do for a podcast. I don't know. We're just literally just throwing ideas around because we're waiting for Bishop to carry up.
If we'd done a WandaVision podcast, can you imagine how mad we'd have gone?
Oh, God, we would have went ballistic and everything. Oh, but not so much as getting mad and everything. I think it would just been more just like throwing around theories and everything. yes, we would have just gone completely insane and everything. But we would have still loved it at the end.
Yeah. I mean, back to Bond, I will say that the only actor I enjoyed in it was Peter Lorre as Le Chiffre. I think he did a good job.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's just like, yeah, you got him and everything. You got this grand actor who has been in so many other things, like Casablanca, and basically became the caricature archetype for, you know, the ego-like henchman and everything. My pleasure, sir. It's just like,
he's good in how that, did you get he's that? Good in that 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea that Disney made.
Ooh.
That's one he's good in. It's got, I can't remember the name of the lead actor in it. Kirk Douglas. It's got Kirk Douglas in it.
Ah, I'm gonna have to look that up.
Yes, and he's good in that.
I'm gonna have to look that up to Disney Plus.
It might be on Disney Plus. Yeah, it probably is. Yeah, I'm surprised that this wasn't a Disney production, because sort of early 1950s, this would have been peak Disney churning out any random live action shit they can get their hands on.
Yeah.
Before they look into something like Mary Poppins and hit the big time.
Yeah.
This is all of the Computer That Wore Tennis Shoes era.
Oh, God, yes, yes. And then the little era after Disney died and everything, when Kurt Russell was in everything.
Yeah.
Because Walt Disney simply wrote his name on a piece of paper. We do not know what that was and everything. But just yet, Kurt Russell, Kurt Russell, Kurt Russell, Kurt Russell.
Can you imagine if they had waited a few years to adapt any Bond, and the first Bond we get is Casino Royale, but done in that Disney era with Kurt Russell?
With regards to it, I think if they did it properly and everything, it's just like, I think we could even forgive the Americanization part of it and everything. Because I think Kurt Russell one of those people who you can't do shit, even when it's in something completely bad?
I'm trying to think of some of the recent stuff he's done. Was he in Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yes, he was Peter's dad in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes, yeah. He was good in, yes. I mean, even like the computer, even some of the earliest, the Computer That Wore Tennis Shoes, which I mentioned, is entertaining. It's shit, but it's entertaining, and his performance is what you want from him.
It's like every single time you mention that, all that just comes to my mind is the frickin' episode of The Simpsons, which takes the shit out of the prisoner that actually starred Patrick McGowan. That's the name of the episode is a complete and utter piss take of that title and everything. But it's just like, it's the first thing that comes to mind.
Yeah. I mean, how old would he have been in sort of late 50s after Walt's passing?
With regards to late 50s, I think he'd have maybe been
a bit too young. He'd have been a teenager, maybe.
Yeah, probably a child or something like that. Mm. But anyways, yeah.
I want Kurt Russell as Bond now.
Or get Kurt Russell into Bond in some way, shape or form. And
get him to do it now. The man can move. He can't jump off buildings like Daniel Craig can, or run through walls.
We'll find some way. But yeah,
he'd do a great Q.
Yes.
See, I think that's what this is missing. This is missing all the establishing fluff around James Bond that makes him work. Because he just turns up, plays Baccarat, and knows he's on a mission to bankrupt this guy. Everything else, I assume it's in the book as well. He's got M, he's got Moneypenny, he's got Q. Probably not fully established in the first book, I suspect. Series like this work.
I read it a long, long time ago. I don't recall Q. I think he came in the later books and everything.
Right.
But
he would have still had a base.
Yeah.
It would have started, Bond, here's a thing you have to do for the safety of the world. Go and bankrupt this guy.
Oh, yeah. No, what I remember is, with regards to the few that I've read so far and everything, the first chapter is always this kind of like, this little scene out of nowhere from the beginning of the end of the book and everything. That sort of, you know, act change area and everything. So it's like this cold open and everything, but it's like this little hint of the future and everything. And then it just goes all the way back to the beginning and everything, showcase all the steps, all the journey and everything.
And I suspect it's because they couldn't afford it, because this looks cheap.
Yeah.
Some of the background sets are just pictures of a room. Yeah. It's like Doctor Who used to do. It's just a picture that you're expected to believe is 3D. I'm expecting to see some cardboard Daleks in the background.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it looks cheap. There's only five or six people that actually speak because they couldn't afford to pay any other roles.
Yeah.
Everyone's wearing these ill-fitting boxy suits. People are of the opinion that this era, the 1950s and 60s, Americans were all dashing and wearing fancy suits and tuxedos that are all tailored nicely. No, you look at some of the Rat Pack films. They are all dressed shit. None of the suits fit. They're all too wide at the shoulders and too long on the sleeves. They're all... Because they were drunk. Nobody cared because everybody was drunk in the 50s. And they're all tied to the mafia, but that's by the by. People are of the opinion that everything in this era was glamorous and fashionable, and it's just not. You look at the things from this era, and they're mostly shit.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like, even with stuff like budget and everything, it's just like, they have the Rat Pack and everything. They would have cost a fortune to get back in those days. And it's just like, you've blown your entire budget on getting the Rat Pack and everything. It's just like, we don't have money for everything else. We've had to pay Frank bloody Sinatra.
We've paid Sinatra $500 million and given him 4 grams of cocaine. And he still can't wear a suit that fits properly.
You can see that kind of thing with this and everything. It's just like, bless their little cotton socks for trying and everything, but it's just like, it's a bit too noticeable.
Yeah, it is. And even, I mean, Britain wasn't doing much better. I have on the shelf behind me somewhere, I have the original Quatermass and the Pit TV series on Blu-ray. And whilst, you know, it's got a certain charm to it, it's still shit.
It still
looks cheap and wonky, and they're clearly filming it having just trained for a theatre because there's only three sets and everybody else is a background extra.
And they've rehearsed it for about 4 days straight beforehand and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like with regards to those and everything, you need to have this kind of suspension of disbelief and everything. It's like even more so than the Bond films and everything, because for the vast majority of them and everything, certain elements not counted and everything, and I think we all know which ones those are and everything. It tries to have this kind of grounded realism, even with a bit of the more fantastical elements, like a lot of the gadgets or the plots and everything. It still has this little kind of grounded realism. You don't need to push your suspension of disbelief and everything. Yeah. With regards to
you, corkscrew car with a slide whistle from whichever Roger Moore film that was.
The Man with the Golden
Gun. It's one of the ones with the stupid American in.
Yes. Him. Yes. And then also Die Another Day.
Yes, and all of that. There were a couple of times watching those films when I would just film some of it and put it onto Twitter. Like, what the hell is going on here? Why would they make this like that? See, I mean, that's what this interpretation of Bond misses that the other ones have got. The other ones at least try and make Bond a character. They at least try and make him unique in the world of spies. Because spy media is a massive thing. I say this having started listening to the Big Finish adaptation of Callan, which is on the shelf behind me as well. And yes, John loves. And Bond distinguishes himself from being goofy. And I think that's what every Bond sort of needs in its own way. And Barry Nelson is just dull. Even Connery. Yeah. Sean Connery's the most charming man on the planet in every film he's in. But he's still goofy as hell when he gets to play up and dress as James Bond.
Yeah.
And act around.
With regards to it, it's just like, it needs that element of just like you can have a bit of fun with this and everything. Because to be quite honest and everything, why wouldn't you? You're an international jet setter spy and everything who gets to go around the place and everything. You can have a bit of a laugh Because
you're probably going to be killed on this mission. You've told everyone your name. You've got no one at home who gives a shit about you. You're never going to bang Moneypenny. Go and have some fun.
Yes, it's just like, it's just like you're going to need these moments after you've mercilessly punched someone in the face to death about 10,000 times.
In fact, that's the thing. That's what I wanted to do on my rewatch of these films now. I wanted to see the first time Bond definitively kills someone. That's what I want to, because I was watching one of them and I'm like, oh, that's Bond killing someone properly. Actually, not just knocking them unconscious or giving them a punch or a slap.
Yeah.
Or just tickling them as Roger Moore seemed to. Actually, I want to see Bond actually properly killing someone. Daniel Craig killed everyone he could.
With regards to it, they made this entire gigantic point of it and everything, literally in the first bit of Casino Royale and everything. Because, it's just that...
I genuinely loved that.
Yeah, up to that point and everything, it's just like, they forgot the fact that he has a license to kill. He can shoot someone and get away with it. He can get away with murder.
Yeah,
granted, there would have to be some kind of justification and everything, some kind of self defense or like this is the mark, this is the target or something like that and everything. But he can still get away with murder. It's just like the opportunities you have with something like this.
Maybe it didn't come in for a while because it's pretty much established by now that the Bond books were massive exaggerations of the things Ian Fleming did in the war. They're the things Ian Fleming wanted to do in the war when he was trying to be a soldier and a spy.
Yeah, exaggerations of parts that he did do and then other stuff that he wanted to do and everything.
And working with John Pertwee. I can just picture it, Ian Fleming and John Pertwee stood at the front of some, because they were Navy, weren't they?
Oh, I would imagine so and everything, yeah.
I can picture them stood with a cigar on the front of one of those great frigates, just charging into Burma. Just going, this will make a good movie one day. As they puff on the cigar. What are you going to do, John? I'm going to twat around as Doctor Who for a few years and go and play a scarecrow.
Damn it, you bet me it's a scarecrow joke!
You go off and write some Bond, I'll go and play a scarecrow. Did he want Pertwee as Bond? I'm sure I've read somewhere that he wanted to get Pertwee as Bond, or at least he based some of Bond on Pertwee.
Oh, it's something that we're going to have to look into and everything.
It's a very self-fulfilling prophecy for how Pertwee played the Doctor. If Fleming did base any of it on his old army buddies.
Yeah. Indeedy. But yes, just getting back to 1954's Casino Royale and everything. It's just like, it's that level of just, we don't really have enough money to get everything that we need done. So we're just going to try and make this as nice as we can, but that we basically have the budget of tuppence and a string.
Even
in America.
Yeah. They'd left, if they could just leave Bond British, we could have forgiven them some of it.
Yeah.
And I can't remember the name of the woman that plays the love interest, but she's just nothing.
Catherine something, I can't remember everything.
They're just all very dull, apart from Peter Lorre. He's good as a villain.
Here's the thing with the love interest and everything. That's a combination of two characters. It's a combination of Vesper, who they've renamed Valerie for whatever reason.
Yeah, and it's Vesper Lind.
Yes, and it's a combination of Mathis.
It's a combination of the CIA agent.
No, not the CIA. Not the CIA agent.
No, that's lighter.
The French guy. The French guy. Yes.
The French guy.
Yes, and the reason why the French guy is because she's French. She's French. She's an agent in somewhere and everything, and it's just like. Was this really necessary?
We've got to cover up for this really awkward accent because our actress can't change it. It's a bit like Gal Gadot in Wonder Woman. You have to cast people that can copy Gal Gadot's accent to live on the island with her because Gal Gadot can't change her accent. No, that's how they all speak on Themyscira. Like, she's a French agent. Yeah, sure, why not? with this woman who, with someone who turned up with a French accent one day. Yeah, sure, but we'll make her French. Can you do American? No. Oh, well. No, I cannot do the American. You lazy bastards.
Oh, God.
Money?
Oh, God.
I don't have to sleep with him, do I? No. This is the 1950s. Nobody was sleeping together. It's a wonder that generation ever carried on. They have a sort of love scene in this, don't they?
Yeah.
Am I remembering it rightly? They go behind a door and then emerge and nothing happened.
Yeah, there was something like that and everything, and then it just went into this kind of torture scene and everything. There's not much that's coming up and everything because again,
it's very dull.
Yeah, with regards to that's it and everything. With regards to it, I will still gladly watch it over the 1967 version any day, but yeah.
Really? Is it that bad?
With regards to it, bad is a subjective term, but it makes me angry. You are going to see exactly why when we get to it and everything, but it's just like, that. There's an image I want to leave you with and everything. I will gladly watch this 1954 budgeted with a kettle.
Dull as dishwater
one more than the 1967 version. Wow. Let that sit with you let that sit with you for the next five episodes and everything until we finally get around to it.
You were trying to think of a time frame then, weren't you, for when it was we might get to that movie?
I was trying to think of a time frame, four decades.
Yeah,
With regards to it, I'm planning on getting these out weekly and everything. Recording's another matter.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, smeg. When's this one going up?
What is the date again? Where are you, you little shit?
You can edit this bit out.
Yeah, I can edit this bit out if needs be and everything. This is hopefully going up on the 19th.
Oh, okay. So we're recording some more before then. Okay.
Yeah. it'll give me time to space it out and actually edit them.
Yeah, it's fair enough.
Yeah. But yeah, that's the eventual plan and everything. But yeah, with regards to it, it's dull. I can't blame some of them for trying because they actually do try and everything. Like Barry Nelson, as bad as some of the stuff
Jimmy.
He hits and everything. At the very least, he tries. He tries, but there's just no blame them for losing this.
I suspect this was somebody seeing how bad it was and just deleting it, just hoping nobody would remember it, and then they found it again. Was it the 90s? They found it again.
The 80s.
And I'm sure I read into this. They found it. It was filmed originally in colour, but it was only found in black and white. Is that right?
Yes.
I wonder, God, how shit would that set have looked in colour?
Oh, I can't even begin to imagine.
Those backgrounds that are clearly 2D paintings. Yes, the room goes on for miles back there. There's a window and everything. No, we don't believe you. Just film it in an actual room. Just don't build a set. Just go to an actual casino. It was the 50s. You could just pay the mob off. Film in an actual casino.
Yeah, no, I don't know whether it was a case or something like that and everything, or whether they could actually fit the big ass gigantic camera in the same room and everything.
Was it filmed on videotape or film?
I cannot for the life of God recall.
It looks like videotape. Maybe that's just because it was found in such a low quality.
Yeah.
Maybe it looked amazing when it was in full colour and on film, but because it's been lost and refound, it'll be like if they ever find the Doctor Who episode Marco Polo. Yeah. It'll be cropped awkwardly, it'll be upside down, it'll all be in the wrong aspect ratio.
We'll still watch it.
It'll all be in 240p. William Hartnell's voice will just be missing from every other episode.
And yet we'll still watch it.
And yet we will still, we'll lap it up. We'll just get John Guglia. to re-record some lines.
Yeah.
But I mean, in terms of Bond's first outing in a televisual medium, Climax was not a good one.
Climax
was not a good one is a phrase many of my girlfriends have heard.
Oh God! Yeah, no.
You tried to stop me from doing the climax jokes. You cut that off early in this episode. You cut me off from doing climax jokes, but I'm here. I'm going to do some climax jokes.
This is my calling.
This is what I was born to do. There's a Bond thing called climax. Brilliant! I'll crack out the notebook.
Oh God!
My big bumper banger of knob gags that I've got. This is my time to shine.
Oh, God, I needed this.
It's been 2 months since we've recorded a podcast properly. This is our first attempt, and we've been going for nearly 50 minutes now, reviewing this shit episode of James Bond. I do not want to watch any other episodes of Climax after this. I don't care what other stories they adapt. I do not want to watch this. The guy who introduced it was fun. He was there sat with one of the Baccarat card things, going, there's no way they can take from the bottom or cheat the deck. Now we watch Bond. I wonder if they have that in every episode. I assume so. It's an anthology series.
Yeah, I would imagine so and everything. It was, kind of something like Rod Serling did and everything.
Half hour.
Yeah, there's literally only one episode, I think, that you would want to watch of Climax and everything. And it was literally one that this one gets confused with and everything. There's an episode somewhere. I don't know if it's Lost or if it's The Lost or something and everything. But one of the characters in it dies. And then literally about five minutes later, the actor just gets up and walks off. On camera. On camera. It's caught on camera. Dear. There was an urban legend that it just got misattributed to this episode. Like, people say they saw Peter Lorre just get up and walk off set and everything.
Because this was the episode that they had.
Yes, this is the episode that they had. Now, it isn't this one and everything. As much as I tried to look for it, it isn't it and everything. It's literally, it was an urban legend that the Casino Royale one was it. But there is one that exists. Hopefully it's somewhere. Oh, it would be the only one that you would want to watch, purely just for that visual and everything. It's just like, right, I've had enough of being dead. I'm headed off now.
I mean, I am an enormous fan of Mischief Theatre and The Play That Goes Wrong and all of those endeavours. So to see something like that genuinely happen might be quite fun.
Yeah, but at the very least, stuff like that and Mrs. Brown's Boys and everything, it's just like they do that deliberately and everything. They know the joke that they're about to go into and everything, and yet they still manage to make it funny and everything. This was just literally just caught off just at the spur of the moment and everything, and nobody just didn't know it was still recording and everything. It just walked off. It's just like, it's unintentional humor. It was like, it's the shot that goes wrong when it actually goes wrong. It's nothing planned.
Because they couldn't afford to stop the cameras and do another take.
Yeah.
I'll say that for this interpretation of Bond. I didn't notice many fluffs or massive errors that stuff from the 50s seems to have, because they just couldn't afford to change it again.
Yeah.
It all worked probably how they intended it to. It might have looked good as a stage show with the two sets that they had and the cardboard background.
Yeah.
But it's just nothing. It's just a bit dull. I can't believe that this is the first Bond.
Yeah.
And well, I would never have known about this if not for Jenny Dentian.
Oh, God.
Thanks, Jenny.
Like I said, I learned about it long before and everything, but it's just like I only watched it for the first time.
Well, that was it. I was not enough of a Bond fan, even after I'd watched the films, to know other interpretations of Bond. I didn't know the Young Bond books existed. I didn't know any of the new other Bond material other than, there were some Bond films and some Bond books. That was all I knew of the franchise.
Oh yeah, no, there is an iceberg. There is a huge iceberg.
Yes, and I'll be drowning on the surface.
Thankfully, we're not going to be going that deep into the iceberg, because it is going to be a hell of a time getting into it and then a hell of a time getting out.
We're not going to play the video games. We're not going to play GoldenEye 64.
I wish we would and everything, because with regards to it, it is one of the
multiplayer.
It is one of the few first person shooters I own, and one of the few that I actually like.
Oh, okay.
So it's just like I am not one of those big people who goes for first person shooters and everything, but it's just like I got this because it's GoldenEye. It's meant to be based on one of the best games of all time, let alone what is considered to be the best first person shooter and everything. I tried it. It's fun.
I recommend you get a video game because of this. Sit at the table, press X to show your cards.
Imagine if they made a text based adventure game based on this and everything. It would just be horrendous.
It'd be like that Hitchhiker's text adventure that they did.
Oh, God.
But yes, I think we sum up this episode of Climax with a small finish and a mess on the floor. And I'm trying to think of some other euphemisms, but my train has run out. We don't like it. Hold it together, John.
With regards to it, No, we've just lost it at this point. We've just lost it. Right. Okay. Yeah, I think that's all that we can really say about this and everything. It's just other than the fact that I'm not surprised that it took 8 years for the rest of this to get sorted out and everything, because I can imagine Fleming just taking a look at that and just going, I do not want my books to be massacred like this again and everything. I'm going to get the rest of this all done. I'm going to establish this and everything. And then we can look into the proper stuff and everything.
And then he'll give a shit ton of money to do it again for Dr. Mill.
And even before that, then that led to one drunken night that led to about 30 years worth of lawsuits. But we'll get on to that.
Were there any legal problems with this? Did CBS own the rights to Bond, or did they just have Casino Royale?
Just Casino
Royale. Is that why it wasn't the first Eon film?
Yeah, literally the rights to the book were the thing that was snapped up, rather than the rights to the character.
Maybe that's why they couldn't make him a British agent. A bit like how Marvel are doing Spider-Man at the minute. Because they don't own the rights entirely to Spider-Man, their version of Peter Parker is different to the comic Peter Parker. Their version of MJ is wildly different to the version of MJ. Their Vulture is wildly different. So Sony still have the rights to a comic ideal adaptation of that character.
Yeah. Marston for Bad Wolf has basically elaborated on that and everything. That is exactly the reason why that they make this a bit different and everything. It is purely because of rights issues and everything.
I don't know much about the Bond rights issues. I know there are a lot.
Trust me.
The broccoli estate screws everything up.
With regards to it, it seems fine now. But there was a story behind a lot of that and everything, and it is.
But MGM are selling up. They are losing the rights to everything that they're making.
Ooh.
I believe so. Anyway, I believe MGM are trying to get rid of some franchises. I read a headline a couple of weeks ago. Very sketchy memories of this. I'm sure someone will. Set answers on a postcard, please correct me about MGM. But I'm sure the rights to Bond movies are changing soon anyway.
Well, I do know that they've changed the distribution partner and everything. Because for the first four of Craig's films, it was Sony and Columbia. It's now after going over to Universal. I don't know much about that. I do know that up until recently, this has been one of the few things that United Artists, the American crowd behind Eon and everything have been doing. And only up until recently and everything, it was the only thing that they were doing. United Artists is after getting a bit of a rebirth recently and everything with regards to some stuff. I think Orion Films or something, this little touchstone like thing for Warner Brothers or some shit like that and everything. They did the Bill and Ted movies, the Child's Play movies, I'm not 100% sure. But it was just something like that, that United Artists are now after re-bigging themselves up and everything.
I found it again. There is a lot of talk in the industry that MGM are looking to be bought out, and it could be Disney.
With regards to it, out of all the companies, I would have assumed it would have been Warner Brothers. But
anyway. I don't know. But, I mean, if Disney own Bond, they'll put it on that Star section on Disney Plus.
Oh, imagine Bond on streaming.
Has Bond ever been on a UK streaming site?
I don't know. I don't really think so.
Some of the Craig films might have been on Netflix. I think the Brosnan ones are in America.
Right. No, because with regards to it, the transmission rights for Bond in the UK and everything, it's like, I remember that there was this big brouhaha or something over it and everything, because Sky got them at one time and everything, and it meant they couldn't be shown on ITV. And ITV love showing the Bond films every now and again and everything, because it's a guaranteed watch. And everything. It's one of those things whereby
advert breaks in.
Yeah, they do put advert breaks in and everything, but it's a guaranteed asses on sofas watch and everything.
Yeah,
that's one thing. granted.
Although ITV show the Harry Potter films as well, so maybe there's some. Well, the Harry Potter films have never been on streaming either.
Not that I can recall.
I don't get it. Maybe a Disney buyout.
It's money.
Yeah, but who knows? We know that this is never going to appear anywhere. CBS have forgotten it existed.
Yeah. Literally the only place I recall hearing that it's been put on and everything is on American copies of the 1967 Casino Royale and everything. And it's just like, if you didn't have enough shite to watch. Yeah. Okay, that's the last I'm going to talk about the 1967 one until we finally get around to it and everything, because I want to save some of my ranting for that.
I've still not seen it.
And again, I apologise for what I'm about to put you through.
Well, I mean, I get my next load of furlough pay this week, I think. So I may look on Amazon or CEX and find it somewhere.
Yeah.
I believe is there a box set that comes with the other Sean Connery one as well? That comes with
they do a box set, because with regards to it, all the changing around that happened and everything, both of them eventually did find their way back to MGM as rights holders and everything, so it's just like, we put the both of them out. Sure.
If the Craig films had tried to do like Doctor Who does and obsess about continuity in the modern era and tried to make Bond a continuous character or some form of code name and have scenes where Sean Connery hands it over to Roger Moore and starts with Barry Nielsen as this weird Peter Cushing type Bond, just off. He's a different species. Off he goes in his own little world. Whoever's Bond next, be it Idris Elba or Henry Cavill or whoever, have this climax on in the background on a TV somewhere. Make it seem like Bond has become a public figure, and they're making TV shows about Bond. That'd be fun.
That would actually be a very good idea. That would actually be a good idea. Yeah, like just something like that. Like, I remember. Have you ever seen the Ian McKellen movie, the Sherlock Holmes movie you did, Mr. Holmes?
Oh, I think I watched it. I think, yeah.
Yeah, he was
a beekeeper.
Yeah, he was a retired beekeeper in it. I love that film. One of the things they did was they had a film within the film and everything. And it was just this gigantic, just meta gag and everything. Because it was a film about the case and everything. Not only that, the guy who played Sherlock Holmes in the film within the film is the same actor who played him in Young Sherlock Holmes, Nicholas Rowe.
Yes, I remember. Yes, name.
and if you want to know one of the more recent things Nicholas Rowe did and everything, he played the Candyman in Ravenous One.
Oh, did he?
Yes. He is that horrifying, nightmarish... Yes, yes, he is that nightmarish, horrifying demon that lives in your night terrors.
Yes, he plays the Doctor Who villain Candyman.
Yes, yes. Yes, just with the horror aspect dialed up to about 907.
Yeah. But, I mean there's a YouTube channel and a podcast, Mr. Sunday Movies. When they talk about Bond, he often says that what you should do with Bond in the next set of films is take him back to the 60s. You do the classic style spy thrillers, you bring up back all the classic gadgets, the old cars and the jetpacks and whatnot, and that would be a great time to make this film a weird meta canon.
With regards to it, I mean, with Bond, there's always this kind of little wish and everything that, if you know us and everything, we listen to Big Finish and everything, and one of the things that's most requested with the guys of Big Finish is Bond. It's completely outlandish and it's never going to happen and everything, but it's one of those things. But it's just like, it's just that idea of just going back and doing these adaptations of the books and everything, where it's in the 60s, it's all the period right styles and gadgets and everything like that, and you just take out all the problematic shit and everything, because there is a lot of problematic shit in the books.
Maybe you don't set so much of it in Jamaica.
Yeah.
We'll get to that when we talk about Dr. No.
but just doing that and everything, just getting it back to that era, that would probably be a good idea.
Yeah, I think it's a fun idea. Don't take it to the 50s. We never need to see a Bond like this again.
No. The 50s.
That sums it up. We've spent an hour discussing this shit Bond episode.
Yeah, we spent about 20 minutes discussing just what we're planning on doing and everything. About 15-20 minutes. And then the rest of the 40 has just been this really, really, really dull thing.
It could have stayed lost.
It's just like, I get that anthology series and everything are meant to be played and everything, but just unless you have something good going for them, then they need that one little gimmick. They need that something that makes it like the Twilight Zone or Inside Number 9 or Tales of the Unexpected. You need that hook.
Yeah, and it's just dull.
Yeah.
We've said dull a lot in this episode.
Dull.
I couldn't make that pun work in my head. I tried to do some variation of dull and double, the dull below 7. But I couldn't make it work in my head. It didn't sound right. So I'm not going to make the joke. The dull below 7.
Double dull 7.
No. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a joke in there somewhere. Get back to me. I'll have it ready by the time we do Goldfinger.
As is on a postcard.
If you can think of a better joke than I have, well done. You can win host an episode.
Yeah. So, yeah, with regards to that then, I'm going to try and get this edited and out for you as quickly as possible on the 18th and everything. Everything going well, it will be the 18th or the 19th when you're listening to this, or probably sometime after. But yes, we are going to be trying to get these out on a regular basis, weekly and everything. And if I've timed everything correctly, which I sincerely hope I have, and if people decide to actually help with regards to getting this entire pandemic under control and everything, we are going to be finishing this by the time that No Time to Die actually comes out. Hopefully.
Good luck.
Yes, best of luck and everything. Yeah.
Gentlemen, it's been an honour podcasting with you. It's like Titanic. Just play the harp. As we slowly sink into the Mediterranean. Yes. Oh, well. I meant to say Caribbean, because that's where Bond is set for a lot of Connery. Why did I say Mediterranean? I meant to say Caribbean.
It's where you want to go. You just want to go to Italy.
Is the reboot Casino Royale set in France?
Yes.
Is it in Monaco?
I would believe so.
Is it on the Riviera?
I would imagine.
Maybe that's why I'm thinking of better adaptations of this story.
Yeah.
That's where my mind is.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we will get there soon in time. Yes. As we discuss every James Bond film from the perspective of John Ryan, who has seen them all several times and has been a fan for years, and me, who has seen them all once before. Yeah. And doesn't give a shit about any of them.
This is going to be fun. So, yeah, obviously the next one is going to be the first Eon production, Dr. No. And to and to join you with regards to someone who hasn't really to join you with regards to someone who has not really seen this before and everything, our guest, as far as I'm aware, has also never seen this before and everything. Our guest will be Star Wars and Whovian maestro from Yahoo Entertainment, Adam Lance Garcia.
Or is he joining us for Doctor No?
Yes, he will be joining us for Doctor No. He's good. Yes. He's up and ready to go for it and everything. We might get him back for one particular episode and everything because it might just be worth to hear his opinions.
Another one he wants today.
Yeah, that'll just be a fun one and everything. But yes. Yes, so yeah. With regards to it, not much else we can say about on this other than we have looked at the very first James Bond adaptation, and we know that regardless of whatever we may think about it, much better is yet to come. Much, much better. Yeah, yeah. Probably for some of us, a lot worse, but certainly much better stuff is on its way.
Yeah, I mean, the Roger Moore films, yeah, touch and go.
Yeah, touch and go and everything. I dare say you may get a better appreciation for them once we've hit that one. But anyways,
I could do.
Yes, it will be interesting to see when we get to it and everything. But we'll get to that when we get to that.
Are we going to watch Austin Powers? I've never seen Austin Powers before.
I've only seen bits and pieces of it and everything. I think there's only so much that we can do with regards to this podcast and everything. You know what? With regards to the Johnny English films and the Austin Powers movies and everything, what I think we might do and everything is just, I think we might just give each, just combine all of their respective films into one episode each and everything. Because there's only about three movies in each and everything.
Isn't there a thing where Woody Allen plays Bond as well?
That's Casino Royale 1967.
Is that the one we did? Is it?
Yes,
okay.
It is. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. There's going to be fun with that one and everything.
Oh, dear.
Yes. And he's not the only... Yes, and with regards to it, the one where you were saying, isn't there one where Woody Allen James Bond and everything? You could not be more right with regards to that. And it only gets worse from there.
Woody Allen and David Niven be playing Bond?
Oh, you'll find out.
Oh, I'll find out.
You will find out.
Oh, dear. So that is a nice hook, listeners, to bring you back for the next few episodes of the Terror of the Tweeters 007 debrief.
Yes, like I said, much better is to be coming, but we will have to get along to this shit when we get on. But until then, it is goodbye from me and goodbye from my cohort Matthew.
Goodbye. I'm not still not sure about the word cohort there.
Partners in crime.
Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for listening.
Ta-ta, me lovies, and hope you join us for this and everything. Please, we have to make it worth it in some way. Matthew certainly has to make it worth it in some way.
Please give me a purpose to watch James Bond again. Justify my pain. I'll be fine. See you around.
Don't worry, we'll have some fun. Bye-bye!
You expect me to talk? No, Mr. Bond, I expect you to die!
You have been listening to Terror of the Tweeters, the 007 Debrief, Beginnings with Barry Norman, recorded on the 6th of March 2021, hosted by John Ryan and Matthew Ross. The theme music was the reversion James Bond theme, composed by Monty Norman, realized by John Barry and his orchestra, and arranged and remixed by Moby. Any and all copyrighted material is the registered property of their respective owners, utilized under the Fair Use Agreement, and no infringement is intended.